All right, well, it has been a good a few days to be able to be with you all, and it's been a blessing to be here. My wife asked me, is this one going to be as long as the first one? I said, I don't know. She says, if you'd have been at your own, own church, they'd have stoned you. I do tend to be long-winded once in a while. I told Brother Graber when we, you know, in the beginning of these messages, I don't generally say that anymore, because usually if I warn people that it might be a long message, it's like 20 minutes, you know. And sometimes I come up thinking I've got 20 minutes and it's an hour and a half. So you don't know. It all depends on how the Lord works, and we pray the Lord works. And if the Lord works, we pray that he takes just as long as he wants to take to get a hold of us and to work in us and to meet with us. So I don't intentionally intend to keep us longer than is wisdom, you know, in because the flesh is weak and we get tired. I realize that, but Lord willing, we'll, you know, if the Lord engages us, time just goes Amen. Out of our mind. You see, if we're not engaged in the message, then time is relevant to us, and we're like, oh man, this is going forever. But when the Lord engages us, time we lose track of time. And so I'd pray the Lord engages us for as long as he wants to engage us and just bless us. I really hope he'll take this message and bless it. This is from a series. I have not preached it yet, but I intend to preach it. My brother and I are going to go down to Mexico. You pray for us, but we're going to go down and preach to the mission that is out of our church down there in Mexico, in the state of Oaxaca, in the city of Oaxaca, where Brother Bert Kraft is. And we're going to then go up into the established work in the mountains there and preach. But this is from a series of messages that I intend to preach there, praying that the Lord will use this series of messages. But I just wanted to take one of those and bring it. I was torn between which ones, but we just pray the Lord will bless this. But Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 down through 10. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Now, when you're reading these Old Testament prophets, this is a real good reason why you should have been studying your books of the kings, because this gives you the history, in the Kings and the Chronicles gives you the history of what the prophets were dealing with, okay? And so this is really going to really be important to this, to the message. But so the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. So his ministry, you know, is during the times of, these different kings. But it says, to whom the word of the Lord came in verse 2, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Josiah was one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. One of the greatest times of repentance, where he just went through and cleaned house with the idolatry of Judah, and even went up into, you know, he even went up into Israel after they'd been taken in captivity, and he went up there and got rid of that false worship up there. I mean, he cleaned house. So in his days, Jeremiah's ministry starts in one of the greatest times of repentance and revival, if you will, you know, in Israel's history. It says in verse 3, and it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah of Judah, wicked king, under the end of the 11th year, of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, of king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the fifth month. So his ministry spans this time. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak, Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day, See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. But let's approach the Lord in the word of prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for who you are. Lord, we're thankful that you are a sovereign God, an eternal God with an eternal purpose for your eternal glory. And that you're working that out, Lord, in our lives. You're working that out in this world. And Lord, it has pleased you to call a people into a salvational relationship with you in Christ. And that within this calling in Christ and in salvation, there are specific callings. Lord, there is a calling to preach. There is a calling to your church. There are these callings, Lord. And we're thankful that you are a God who calls. We are thankful that you are a God who deals with us in individual ways. Lord, and today I just pray that you take your word and you would apply it as it pleased you to do so. Lord, that you would work it into the hearts in whatever ways you want to work it. Lord, that you do so for your honor, for your glory. Lord, that you would just take your word and apply it as it pleases you to do. You call if it pleases you to call. Lord, you work however it pleases you to work, and we just give you the glory, the honor. Pray that you'd help me just to preach your word in a way that pleases you. I pray that you would do just as you did for Jeremiah, put your words in my mouth. And let me speak your word today and preach your word today. And just pray for these things and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is from a series of messages that about the call to preach. And this is entitled, all these messages in this series that I'm going to be preaching. And this is one of them is Calling God's Men. Calling God's Men. Jeremiah was one of these men called of God. And so we see in verses 1 through 3, we'll read that again. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem, captivity, in the 5th month. And so Jeremiah was an end time prophet, at least as far as the end of Israel's time before their destruction in captivity. Okay, so he's preaching, you know, in a similar situation that we find ourselves in today. I believe that we're in the end of the end. I mean, we're in the last days of the last days, and so we're in a similar situation. We're in a similar sort of a condition, if you will, you know, in the time in which we live and operate and minister in this world. His ministry was during one of the greatest times of Israel's history under great King Josiah and the repentance that he wrought concerning Israel's idolatry. All the way to the worst time of Israel's history when the nation was finally destroyed and taken into the Babylonian captivity. You know, and so, okay, you know, some of you are old enough and to remember, and you know, Brother Gray was old enough to remember some of those older meetings. You know, the ones that I missed. You know, I can't relate to that whole, you know, them first conferences at home church and things and you know that kind of stuff and the things that they always talk about. You know, what's going on back then? I don't know. I wasn't there. And maybe you know, maybe, okay, so maybe I misjudged them a little bit, and so. But you know what I'm getting at, you know, is that you know we're kind of in that period of sort of like, okay, we've seen that, you know, we've at least heard about it, right? Yep. But it seems like, man, things are hard, you know. It seems like, wow, things are hard in these end times that people aren't really interested in the things of the Lord. People are, you know, you don't see, boy, I sure haven't seen a whole lot of people, you know, just being saved left and right and all over the place, you know. And people don't want to listen to the things of God. You know, people don't want to talk about the things of the Lord. You know, that's a similar condition that Jeremiah was facing. Nobody was listening to Jeremiah. That was the bulk of his ministry, preaching to people who didn't care, preaching to people who wouldn't repent, preaching to people who had turned away from God. They were once, a, by name at least, they were the people of God. But they had come to the place where they wouldn't hear anymore. What a difficult time of ministry. What a difficult time of ministry. But that was the condition in which Jeremiah was called in. We live in similar times. We certainly are living in the last days before the great tribulation comes. The spiritual diseases of the last days are spreading like plagues. 2 Timothy, let's go there for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." It isn't about persecution so much. It isn't about, you know, all the physical difficulties and problems, but it's spiritually perilous. It's a spiritually perilous time. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." I mean, that spiritual condition is a disease. These are the symptoms of the disease, and it's rampant in the time in which we live. And so this is certainly, that says that's the last days. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. We are in those days. I mean, no doubt about it. Matthew 24. Of course, these things tie in quite a bit with the things we talked about this morning. Matthew 24, that's the things we talked about this morning are the avenue of you know, those things that we want to do for ourselves. But Matthew 24 and verse 11. And, you know, in Matthew 24, obviously, there's a lot of things going on here. There's a lot of, things that are after, you know, the believers are gone and things like that. But there's a condition here mentioned that I want to look at. But Matthew 24 and verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound." That we live in a world of abounding iniquity. And again, much application to the message this morning. The iniquity is abounding. It's before our eyes. It's easily accessible. You know, it's abounding. It's everywhere. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We're living in those days. We're living under that spiritual condition. Men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. That's the problem. We're loving self more than God. Okay, so that's the condition. Similar, very similar to Jeremiah. So this is the spiritual condition that's in the world and will be in the ministry that any man of God is called into to preach and to pastor. Any of us that are serving the Lord in His church, we're going to have to engage those things. But this will be what specifically a God-called man will be entering into. This is the spiritual condition that the world is in today. But don't be discouraged, because God had an eternal purpose of His glory in the life and ministry of Jeremiah. You know, you think about, do you want Jeremiah's ministry? I often think about that. You know, I think, I don't want Jeremiah's ministry. You know, I'd rather have a ministry like John the Baptist or something, you know. And he's preparing people for the Lord, and there's just, you know, multitudes are repenting, right? I'm thinking, I want a ministry like that. And then you think about Jeremiah. I don't want Jeremiah's ministry, right? Why not? Why not? Are we in it for us? Are we in it for our glory? Are we in it for the results? Are we result oriented, you know? Or are we in it for the glory of the Lord? Yes. Jeremiah's life was for the glory of God. Your life and my life is for the glory of God. That's why we serve the Lord. It's not results dependent. It's not results oriented why we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because we want to glorify Him with our life. And so Jeremiah was called into a life of glorifying God, a life of proclaiming the truth of God, a life of preaching repentance when nobody would repent. He was called into that. He was called into a ministry of giving the word of God. But don't be discouraged, because God had an eternal purpose for His own glory in the life of Jeremiah. And so we see, first of all, verse 4 there, "When the word of the Lord came unto me," or excuse me, "then the word of the Lord came unto me." So during this time, he says, this is when it came to me. He says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So Jeremiah was personally called by God's word. Personally called by God's word. Men don't get called to preach, you know, somewhere doing something that has nothing to do with God. You know, it doesn't work that way. They're not called to preach by their parents, and they're not called to preach by their pastor. They're not called to preach by anybody but God. And he does that in conjunction with the truth of his word. He takes the word of God, and just like any other thing he convinces you of, he takes the word of God and he works that into your life. And he works you over with the word of God. But he takes that word of God and he gives it to you in a very specific and a very intense and distinct way that you cannot miss, in the same way that you couldn't miss your salvation. If God is calling someone to preach, then they won't miss that. You can't miss that. It comes to you. The word of God comes to you in a very distinct way. But Jeremiah was personally called into the ministry by the word of God. No other calling will do for the work of the Lord. Every other reason that men attempt to enter the ministry will fall utterly short. I mean, there are all kinds of people who aren't called to preach that enter the ministry. You know? No, and what it is pride and it's ambition and it's their gifted speakers, or they have some gift, or somebody said, hey, you can speak really good. You should be a pastor. You know? No, you know, absolutely not. It's a call of God. And to enter into that thing without being called of God is just utter foolishness. But no other calling will do than a call from God to enter the ministry. But Jeremiah 23 in verse 29. And we looked at this verse a little bit, but Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, it says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. You see, any other calling that other than a calling of God into the ministry is going to come utterly short. That is not going to be enough. And not only so, but God says, I'm against that. I'm against those that enter into those things some other way other than that I have called them into that. But Jeremiah did not enter the ministry by the encouragement of men, nor by the pride of his own ambition, nor because he was exceptionally talented or gifted, but simply and only because God called him into the ministry by the communication of his word. Amen. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. That's exactly how it works. The preaching of the word of God comes to you, and it singles you out. And you can't get away from it, and it works in your heart, and it says, and it comes to you in a very particular, personal, individual way. There are many times that we hear the word of God in a public manner. You know, we're all hearing the same thing today, but some of you aren't hearing it. You know, I hope some of you are hearing it. I hope some of you out there will hear this today, in the way that I want you that I hope that the Lord, you know, we'll use it. But otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching it. I want somebody to hear this message. we hear in a public way. You know, every time we come to church, we hear the word in a public way. But there are other times that in the midst of the public preaching of God's word, God is dealing with you in you privately, distinctly, and personally. This is the manner of the word of God coming unto you and calling you as it came to Jeremiah and called him. You know, it comes to you like you were the only person there. It comes to you and it works in your heart. The next thing we want to notice there in verse 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And so we see that Jeremiah was called according to God's eternal purpose. Called according to God's eternal purpose. God has an eternal purpose of his own glory by Christ Jesus that he has been accomplishing since the beginning of time and creation. In that eternal purpose of glory by Christ Jesus, he has an eternally elect people whom he has chose to include in that purpose. And within that elect people, there are elect preachers ordained by God, like Jeremiah, to that specific purpose and calling within God's eternal purpose of glory in Christ. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. It says, the Lord hath appeared to me of old, hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There was never a day when God decided that I'm going to love Jeremiah. That's because God is eternal, and he is unchanging, and he is perfect. There never was a day that he thought, you know what, I'm going to love Jeremiah. He's always loved Jeremiah. And if you're one of his, he's always loved you. You've always been on the mind of God. You see, but not only so, not just for salvation, but for his eternal purpose of glory in your life. There has always been an eternal purpose of the glory of God for you that God has designed for you in your life. There's some purpose of God's eternal glory for you. Jeremiah had a purpose in God's eternal plan. For his own glory in Christ. But Jeremiah had a purpose, and his purpose specifically was to be called to preach. So he had this eternal purpose in the glory of God in that way. Jeremiah, as all of God's elect, was loved by God always. Therefore, because of that eternally electing love, Jeremiah was called to salvation, and in accordance with God's eternal purpose for Jeremiah, God called him into the ministry. And so this wasn't just something that, you know, God decided one day. This was something that always was with God. As long as God has been, which is forever, which our minds can't get a hold of, but as long as God has been, so also has his people been on his heart, on his mind. They have always been elect. God never held an election either, by the way. They've always been elect. Because of this eternal love, because God is unchanging, God never learned anything, God never looked out into the future and saw anybody coming to him. Right. This election has always been with God. You have always been purposed by God to be called in accordance with that purpose of his glory in Christ and in your salvation and all those aspects of that. That has always been with God. So Jeremiah's purpose with God in salvation and in those things, you know, was he was to be called to preach. But he was called according to God's eternal purpose. Listen, I don't know what God is going to do in your life, but I know there's a whole lot of young people here. And you need to figure out what it is that God wants you to do with your life. Not what you want to do with your life. But what does God want you to do with your life? You need to ask him. You need to have the courage, you know, to ask him and say, what do you want me to do? I have all these ambitions. I have all these ideas. I have all these designs. I have all these plans. I've got a lot of things going right now. What does God want you to do? What is his call upon your life? I don't know what it is. You know? But you need to realize your life isn't just about you living it up or you doing what you want to do. There's an eternal purpose of God for your life. Find it. And live it. Find it and live it to, you know, don't live it half-heartedly. Live it. That's what your life's about. Glorifying God. And there is an eternal purpose. So Jeremiah was called according to that purpose to preach. Verse 6. He says, Jeremiah then answers, says, then said I, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And so we see that Jeremiah had a struggle with inadequacy and inexperience. Jeremiah was no fool. Any thinking person would be troubled and shrink back from such a call from God. I haven't heard of, you know, very many preachers that were like, you know, that didn't trouble them to think that God wants me to preach. Oh, no, not me. Not me. I mean, there's no way I can't speak. You know, Moses, I can't speak. Yeah, Jeremiah, I'm just a child. I have no experience. I have no wisdom. There's no way that I can do these things. There's always that feeling of being staggered, of being taken back, that struggle. Some people deal with that struggle for years. They battle that and they wrestle that, and God will never leave them alone. You know, some of the best advice I ever heard was, you know, if you think you're called to preach, if you can do anything but preach, then do that. Because you're not called to preach. But if you can't, then God will let you know that. He'll make sure that's not going to get by you. You're not going to think, well, I wonder if I'm called to preach. It's not like that. If God's calling you into the ministry, if He's calling you to preach, you will know it. And if you can do anything else, do it. Yes. You know, do it. Because He won't let you if He's calling you to preach. He will call you to preach, and you will do exactly that. But Jeremiah struggled. Anybody would struggle if they have any sense at all. You know, realizing, okay, Jeremiah, you know, thinking about this ministry, you know, that he's entering into, the seriousness of handling the Word of God, the seriousness of dealing with eternal souls, the seriousness of operating and pastoring, you know, one of the Lord's churches or whatever aspect of that He called you to, that is sobering, that is serious. Those are the things that preachers need to remember, that we're going to give an account, we're going to answer to God for how we pastored His churches. That's serious business. You know, it ought to be sobering. It ought to be sobering. And so Jeremiah wasn't a fool. He was shaken by that. He was taken back. But Jeremiah felt inadequate for the ministry. Who wouldn't? If you're not a fool, you will feel very inadequate for the ministry of God's word. Who am I? Who is anyone? Who is sufficient for these things? To preach the word of God to God's people? That is who has what they need for that. But Jeremiah felt his inadequacy. He said, I can't do that. Maybe you're sitting here today saying, I can't do that. I would never be a preacher. You know what I thought? I thought, you know, when somebody met, you know, I remember when somebody mentioned something like that to me, I said, well, that, you know, that wouldn't be me, because there's no way I could ever do that. Well, if God wants you to, he'll give you what you need. But that's a natural thought process. You think, well, no, not me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a good speaker. Jeremiah says, I can't speak. Moses said, I can't speak. Right? Doesn't have anything to do with it. God uses the stammering lips in another tongue. Right? It doesn't have anything to do with it. Your weaknesses have nothing to do with it. It simply has to do with the fact that God calls a person. And if He calls them, He's going to equip them. He's going to give them what they need. And it's not about you or your inadequacies or what you think you can or cannot do. You're better off thinking that you can't do it. You're probably in a lot better shape than thinking that you can. But he felt his inadequacy for the ministry. Every God-called man knows that feeling. If a man ever feels like he is enough and has enough in himself for the work of God, he surely does not. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Anytime a preacher, and preachers experience this too, they think, hey, I got this preaching thing figured out. And anytime he gets about that time, he falls right flat on his face and says, I still can't do this without God. I never could and I never will be able to do it. Except that God does it. Except that God gives it. Except that God puts the words in the man's mouth. He never can do it. But 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. About the time you think, I can stand, I got it all figured out, that's when you're going to fall right flat on your face. But the very fact that Jeremiah knew that he was not enough testified to the truth that he was indeed a God-called man. 2 Corinthians 2. I've never known a true God-called man that didn't feel like he was insufficient, that didn't feel like there's no way that I could do this. This what that he didn't feel that. I mean, just in great depth, he senses the inadequacy of what God has called him to do. How can I do this? It makes him dependent. It makes him prayerful. It makes him depend upon God, because how can I do this if God does not engage, if God does not do it, you know? But every God called man feels that. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" That is what we should feel. Who is sufficient for these things? How can I be sufficient to be the savior of life unto life as I preach Christ? How can I be sufficient to be the savior of death unto death to those that reject Christ as I preach to God? Who is sufficient? How can I sufficiently bring forth Christ? How can I sufficiently bring forth the glory of Christ? How can I sufficiently present that? There's no way. Who is sufficient for these things? Yet God takes his word, And he gets hold of the man, and he puts his words in the man's mouth. And God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And he uses that preacher in the conjunction with the truth of his word. And God supplies his inadequacy. And God is his sufficiency. And he therefore brings forth the word of God, the very word of God, because God is got hold of the man. And he's given him, and he's taken that word, and he's applying the word. But God is engaging in that. You see, and God is the sufficiency, and he's the supply. But no man is sufficient. No man is sufficient. So that's not an excuse, is it? Well, I'm not enough. I could never do that. Nobody ever was. Nobody ever could.
Right.
But God is the sufficiency of the ministry. He supplies. He gives you what you need. So if that's your excuse, throw it out. Jeremiah felt too inexperienced for the ministry. He says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak." What was his reason? Not that he had a speech impediment. Moses claimed to have a speech impediment, but he says, "For I am a child." In other words, I'm inexperienced. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the experience in life. I can't be a teacher and a speaker, and I can't make all the application because I'm a child. I'm too young. Who's going to listen to me? I don't have anything to say. I haven't lived long enough to have anything to say. I'm a child. And so he felt himself too inexperienced for the ministry. "For I am a child," he said. Jeremiah felt himself lacking in wisdom that comes from age and experience and life and ministry. Yes, it is true that age and experience does give much wisdom. But nothing but the call of God and the working of God in a man's soul can give the spiritual wisdom needed for the ministry.
Amen.
But it's the working of God. He's the one that gives the wisdom for the ministry. It isn't man's wisdom. It isn't experience. It's the wisdom of God working in the man. He's the one that imparts the wisdom. Remember Solomon? Solomon was very young when he became the wisest man in the world. And it wasn't experience, was it? It was God that gave him it. Solomon wanted the wisdom to rule God's people well. And he said, here it is. And he gave him that wisdom. See, that's the kind of wisdom we need. But it isn't your experience. Nothing to do with your experience and everything to do with the call of God. Everything to do with God calling you and God supplying you with everything you need. He will supply you. He'll give you everything you need. If God calls, He will also supply the spiritual wisdom and spiritual words for the ministry. No pastor ever did know what to say, the right words. You know, how many times, I'm sure, Brother Graves, how many times has he got into these situations that I have no idea what I'm going to say? Lord, help me, I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. You get into these, I don't know what to say. You get in there and the Lord gives you what you need to say. He puts the words in your mouth. He gives you what you need to meet the need, to meet the, you know, the situation that you're facing. A lot of hard things that you are not sufficient for. But God is your sufficiency. He's your supply. He'll give you what you need. So, youth and experience, youth and inexperience is no excuse. God calls many in their youth to the ministry. And a matter of fact, that's the best time. If you're saved and young and God calls you to ministry, that's the best time. You get an early start and get going. There's a lot to do and a lot to prepare for. And you know, a lot of getting ready in your life. A lot of got a lot of learning to do. A lot of preparation to be made. A lot of preparation. Any God called man, there's preparation in their life, you know. Moses, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years a shepherd, and then 40 years in ministry. Right? John the Baptist, 30 years in the wilderness. 6 months or so of ministry. Right? A lot of preparation is important. So God calls men and he prepares them. Prepares them for that. But man, it's good to get started when you're young. It goes back to the serious-mindedness of being a disciple of Christ. If you're a young disciple of Christ, then you need to get serious about serving him. Be serious and get focused on him. Don't get focused on all these other ambitions that are going to take you away and make you one of these just fence-riding, lukewarm. You know, we got enough of that. Pew riders. We got enough of that. We need some serious-minded young people. We need some sober Christians, some sober people that are serious about serving the Lord, and they're going to make him number one in their life, and they're going to serve him. No matter what that calling is, serving him with their life. That's what we're talking about. Don't use youth for an excuse. You use youth for a time of preparation. That's the time to get prepared to serve the Lord with your life. I mentioned earlier in one of these messages along the way that I really enjoy reading missionary biographies. One of those things you read about those missionary biographies is from a very young age. They were very serious about the Lord. And somewhere along the way, the Lord calls these young people. And then from the time of their youth, they are preparing themselves for the ministry. That's what they're preparing for because they were called in their youth. And they go and they're going in their very early 20s. And they're going to the other side of the world to give their life in service for Christ. That's very serious. How many young people do we got that think that way today? What are we thinking about? We're thinking about what I'm going to do with my life, and we're building an idea of life, and we're building an idea of our happiness, and we're building an idea of success in the world. We're building an idea of, you know, you see what I'm saying? We're kind of short-sighted. We're not thinking about, you know, the bigger picture of how am I going to serve Christ with my life? Let's line myself up with how I'm going to serve Christ with my life. And then all these other aspects of necessities of life, okay, we'll figure that out. But my focus needs to be Christ. How am I going to serve him with my life? But Jeremiah was called, and God calls young people to the ministry. He has for a very long time. Think about Samuel. When did God call him? And he was just a young boy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4 and verse 12. Paul's writing to Timothy. And he says, let no man despise thy youth. Don't let anyone take your youth, think little of it, or think it, not worth listening to because you are a youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We need some young people that are examples of the believers. Some young people that, set that example so that youth isn't despised in the ministry. And if God, God calls youth into the ministry, and they need to then prove the reality of their of God's work in their life by the testimony of their life and being an example of the believers in word and spirit and faith and purity, all these things, charity. But we see that God calls youth, and youth is no excuse. Youth and inexperience is no excuse. It has everything to do with God's call. If God is calling, He'll supply whatever it is that you need. And then verses 7 down through 10 there, but we'll take them one at a time. But we see in these verses, God answers Jeremiah's objection. Verses 7 down through 10, but the promise of God's supply. God is going to be the supply of any that He calls to any specific purpose in His work. Whatever that is, whatever aspect that is, God is going to be your supply. You're not going to have to supply, yourself in any aspect of the work of the Lord. He will supply you. He will give you what you need. And so we see the promise of God's supply. Jeremiah was right to sense his own insufficiencies for the work of the Lord. But he was encouraged to know that God would be with him and that God would supply him with everything he needed. Verse 7 there says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And so Jeremiah was a man sent by God. I mean, that's huge. A man sent by God. If God sends you, He's going to go with you, and He's going to give you everything you need, and you're going to accomplish everything He wants you to accomplish. We need to remember that as pastors, that we are accomplishing just exactly what God wants accomplished. We ought not to look around and think, well, I'm not satisfied with this, that, or the other. Listen, God is accomplishing exactly what He wants to accomplish. Through the ministry of every person He calls into the ministry, every man He calls. He's accomplishing His purpose. Nothing is going to stop that. That should encourage us. But Jeremiah was a man sent by God, according to the sovereign purpose of God, to speak the commanded word of God. A man called and sent by God will be supplied by the sovereign God to speak His word with authority. Okay, now Jeremiah would have good reason to fear if he took this on himself and he decided he was called into the ministry and he went and educated himself and so now he enters into the ministry not being called, not being sent. Now he's got a good reason to fear because God, there is no promise of God to do anything but be against him. And so he would have good reason to fear. But listen, a man called of God and sent of God has every reason to have assurance and confidence and be encouraged because God has called you and He's going to go with you and He's going to be your supply. And so whatever it is that He calls you to, if God is calling you, and you can be assured that He will be with you and He will supply you. But let's go to John, the Gospel of John chapter 1 for a minute. John 1 and verses 6 and 7. This is the effectiveness, if you will. There's a few different aspects of it. But this is why a ministry, is going to be successful, is because God. It's God ordained and God sent.
And that's what makes it profitable. And that's what makes it good. And that's what makes it, you know, work. But John 1 and verses 6 and 7, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Boy, there's all the confidence and all the assurance in the world. A God called man sent of God to bring God's message. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. But you see, he was sent by God. What confidence, what encouragement, what blessing of God, what assurance of God. Jeremiah, I am calling you. Jeremiah, I am sending you. And you will accomplish the things that I am sending you to do. The next verse, verse 8, back there in Jeremiah 1, he says to Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah had no need of fear, because God was with him to deliver him. Again, a God called man doesn't have anything to fear. Why should he fear the faces of the doubters and the scoffers and the God haters and the rejectors of Christ? Why should he fear their faces? What does he have to fear? God is with him. God has sent him. He's bringing the message of God. He's bringing the message of God. He has nothing to fear. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 1 through 3. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, but the Lord is my light, my salvation. If he's with you, what do you have to be afraid of? What do we have to be afraid of? Why should we be afraid of the faces, of those that, you know, that reject the word of God, that hate the things of God? Why do we don't have anything to fear? Because we've been sent, and God's going to go with us, and he's going to give us everything we need. So be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. There, what comfort, what assurance, what confidence, what encouragement, I am with thee. Deliver thee, saith the Lord. Any God called man, I don't care where God sends you, what he sends you to do, what people he sends you to go to, if God has called you and sent you, you have nothing to fear. You don't need to fear the faces, because he's going to go with you. If he's called you, then he's going to go with you. We need to be careful. Let the preacher beware of fear that changes his ministry. Proverbs 29. We need to be very careful of that. Fear of the faces of men can have an effect on the way we preach, on the things we teach, because we're afraid, you know, of how that it will affect. You know, we're afraid, you know, that it might, you know, it might, maybe somebody's going to leave that we don't want to leave, or maybe this, that, or that. You can't think that way. Don't be afraid of their faces. Preach the truth. Preach the truth, and do not change your ministry because of the faces that are looking back at you. Boy, I tell you what, I've been to some funerals sometimes, and if there was a time to be afraid of their faces, you know, and I'm not hard to, you know, I don't preach anybody into hell, and I try not to preach anybody into heaven. I just try to preach Jesus in the gospel when I preach a funeral. And so, but I tell you what, if you preach the truth at a funeral, you're going to have some angry faces. You're going to have some angry faces. So what? You got to tell them the truth. No matter what their facial expression says, don't be afraid of their faces. You're telling them that you are the only one that cares enough about their souls to tell them the truth, no matter if they hate you for it. Tell them the truth. Don't be afraid of their faces. Honor God. Fear God, not man. Preach the truth.
That's what a man of God needs to do. Don't adjust your preaching because of the faces that you're looking at out in the pews. Proverbs 29. And verse 25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. What's a snare do? It binds you, doesn't it? It tethers you. It tethers you. It limits your range of operation. You know, that's what a snare does. A snare doesn't necessarily, snuff out your life. But it does tether you. It limits your range. And so a preacher that's afraid of his congregation or afraid of the people that he's preaching to is tethered. He's on a leash. And he's not going to preach everything they need to hear. Because he's afraid. He's preaching to their liking. He's preaching to their faces. Are they happy with this message? We can't worry about that. And we're human. We're human. We do worry about it some inside, but we can't change the way that we preach. Amen. We've got to preach the truth. We've got to preach the truth. Sometimes I preach to a spot on the wall in the back. Because I don't want to see the faces, because I know that the things I'm preaching, the faces are going to be. Sometimes I have to preach to the, but I'm still going to preach. I'm still going to preach the truth. I'm still going to preach the truth. No matter what the faces say, you got to preach the truth. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't let their faces change the way you preach. Oh, what a sad thing to have a preacher and a tether. Have a preacher that preaches what you want to hear. Buddy, you're in rough shape if you've got your preacher preaching what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. And as preachers, we need to be careful we don't get put on a leash. Don't let the fear of being ousted. Don't let the fear of any of that affect the ministry. Listen, this is God's word. Don't be afraid of their faces. Preach the word of God. We don't have to be afraid because God's going to be with us. Acts 5. Acts 5 and verse 27. It says, and when they had brought them, the apostles had been put in jail, been told not to preach anymore. And it says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You see, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings that into conflict. You're going to be compromising, with what the people want to hear, rather than preaching just the word of God, what the people need to hear. And so, don't let that fear alter your ministry. Back there in Jeremiah, verse 9. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Again, nothing else, nothing else will do. A God-called man, a God-sent man with the word of God in his mouth. You don't want the words of the preacher himself. You don't want the words of the man. You don't want his ideas. You don't want his heart. You don't want his wisdom. You want the word of God in his mouth. That's what you need. That's what I need. We need to hear the word of God from the man of God. We don't need to hear stories, and we don't need to hear things from men's heart. We need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. And so God's word would be in Jeremiah's mouth. As Jeremiah preached, the word would not be his own, but rather the word of God. This is the key element of good and successful ministry. You know, we talked about being sent, called, sent, God being with you. But here's the, you know, here's the key element. It's the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God. You're sent to preach the Word of God. You're not sent to preach tradition. You're not sent to preach, you know, your own ideas. You're none of that. Sent to preach the Word of God. This is what we preach. This is what we teach. This is everything to do. Everything to do with what we are doing is here. We teach this. We preach this. This is everything that we do. When without this, we don't have anything. We've got to preach the Word of God. Everything else is worthless. We've got to preach the Word of God. Yes, we can make some applications. But listen, it's got to be the Word of God. That's what we need to be preaching. But as Jeremiah preached, the word would not be his own, but rather the Word of God. This is the key element of a good and successful ministry. The man of God preaching the Word of God. Nothing less will do for the work of the Lord. And the God-called man that preaches God's Word will have everything he needs for God's work. If you're preaching out of this book, you've got everything you need for the ministry. Right here. This is it. Preach from this book. Study this book. Live and breathe this book. This is what we need. This is everything we need. All the directions. Right here. It's not in some other manual. It's not in some other handbook. It's right here. It's not somewhere in a theological seminary. It's right here. It's right here. And it's in the structure of the Lord's church and in the teaching of the Lord's church. That's the place where God raises up those men and trains those men and teaches those men. And it's out of this book. This book. But you'll have everything you need if you stick to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the teaching, that's the instruction. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything he needs. Right here. Right there. Everything we need for the ministry. Everything we need for the work of the Lord. It's right here. Amen. Acts chapter 20. And verse 27. Says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul, obviously, addressing the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you. He wasn't afraid of anybody's face, was he? He wasn't afraid of being stoned, beaten, you know, of all those different things. He just preached the truth. You preach the truth. You know, some people aren't going to like it. But he says, I haven't shunned to declare unto you anything. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And the only way you're going to feed them is with the Word of God. That's the bread of life. That's the food. That's what they need. Freedom in the Word of God. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall the men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul says, I'm leaving you with this word of God. And that word of God is what you need. And it'll keep you from going astray. It'll keep you from all these attacks that are going to come from without and the attacks that are going to come from within. And it will build you up in the eternal things of God, the eternal inheritance of God. It's going to build you up in those things. And this Word of God, I'm commending you to God and to the Word of His grace. We still need that same Word of His grace today. And if you have that in the ministry, we've got exactly what we need. We need to stick to it. Stick to the program. We don't need a new program. The Word of God is the program. Stick to that. And then, one more verse there in verse 10 of Jeremiah 1. It says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." That's all accomplished by the preaching of the Word. Think about that. Think about that. That's amazing. Jeremiah, God was going to give Jeremiah his word of prophecy, his word of fulfillment, his word of power, his word of accomplishment, his word of purpose, and what he was going to accomplish. And he was giving that word to Jeremiah, and he said, "You go tell them what I'm going to do. You go tell them what I'm going to accomplish. They're not going to listen to you, but you go tell them. You go tell them. And I will accomplish, whether they repent or believe or not, I am going to accomplish what I sent you to preach. I'm going to give you my word, and I am going to accomplish my word." Think about that. Every God-called man into the ministry has been given the Word of God and been given the ministry, and he is going to accomplish that which God has sent him to accomplish. He is going to glorify God, so long as he sticks to the Word of God. So long as he doesn't get off in his own way, if he sticks to the Word of God, ultimately he is going to accomplish. He is going to accomplish what God desires to accomplish in his life. But I don't want to be out. I don't want to be somewhere out in left field. You know, I want to be where God wants me to be. And if we're operating within that realm, you know, that realm where we're walking with the Lord, we're not off somewhere in left field. He is going to accomplish, and we're going to be blessed in that ministry that he's given us. Don't be tempted. Don't let the devil tempt you to be dissatisfied in the ministry that God gives you, whatever aspect, you know. Don't be tempted to be dissatisfied with that. You're murmuring against God. You're saying, "God, I'm discontent with your ministry for my life. I'm discontent in the ministry that you give me. I want somebody else's ministry. I want the ministry like those guys had back there in Acts. I want John the Baptist ministry. You know, I want some..." No! God has given you a ministry. And you and your chief duty is to glorify God with your life and your ministry by preaching the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. But God would accomplish His purpose in Jeremiah's ministry. The man of God who seeks God and faithfully preaches God's Word cannot fail. His life and ministry is bound together with the effectual ministry of God's Word. That's why Jeremiah could not fail, because he was being called in conjunction with the preaching of God's Word that could not fail. He's delivering the Word of God that will accomplish what God desires for it. How then can he fail when he preaches truthfully and faithfully the Word of God? He cannot fail. As long as he delivers that Word of God faithfully, he cannot fail. His life and ministry is bound together with the effectual ministry of God's Word. Nothing he does in accordance with the Word of God can ever be in vain. Because when God calls a man and sends him with his Word always accomplishes God's will according to God's eternal purpose. Let's go to Isaiah 55. You see, a God-called man is called into the ministry of God's Word, and God's Word cannot fail. Therefore, what an encouragement that is, that if our ministry is about the Word of God, how can you fail in that? How can you fail in preaching the Word of God as God has given it to you? But Isaiah 55 and verse 10. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. Says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud. Maketh it bring forth in bud.
that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. How can you fail when you're delivering that word of God that he says never comes back unproductive, never comes back unfruitful, never comes back in vain, never does. It always accomplishes. See, it may not accomplish what the preacher wants. It may not accomplish what we think it ought to. But I guarantee you, every time the word of God is faithfully proclaimed, it always accomplishes what God intends for it. Yep. It always glorifies him when his word is proclaimed. And the preacher never fails. He never fails so long as he preaches the word of God. Now, he can fail if he gets away from that. But so long as he faithfully proclaims the word of God, how can he fail? Because God said, my word will never fail. It's always going to accomplish my purpose. So, conclusion. Jeremiah was called into the ministry during a very difficult time. But Jeremiah had no need to fear, because God would be with him. And God would accomplish his eternal purpose of glory in Jeremiah's life and ministry through the preaching of his own unstoppable word. And so, listen, Jeremiah was a young man in a hard time. But he didn't have any excuse. There was no excuse. God called him, and God supplied him. And if God calls any of you to whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but I guarantee you, he does have a purpose for your life.
Right.
And you need to find it. You need to figure out what that is, and you need to be submitted to the will of God in that thing. And he'll tell you what it is if you're submitted to that thing. But if he calls you to that, you're not going to fail in what he calls you. As long as you stick to this book, you faithfully proclaim his word, he's going to bless that. And he is going to accomplish his eternal purpose in your life, and you're going to be filled with joy and satisfaction and rejoicing because you're going to be in the center of God's will for your life. But let's stop there and turn the story back over to Brother David.
A good reminder of not only the ministry